It is similarly my great happiness to address all of you today on Nrisimhadev's appearance day. Now, I do hope that I can cover everything in 1 hour, and therefore will immediately go into our subject. Now, we all know that most of you who are in Goloka Dham had a very difficult time just behind them. You were all very, let us say, you were ill, and I received so many requests for prayer, and the Gaura Bhavan turned it to a prayer place for all of you. So I sincerely hope that you see that the health is coming back to you, and that you are free from the after effects of such an illness, which is usually weakness and also not an less ability to concentrate and so on. Keeping your very special situation in mind, I mean, the whole community had to go into the sick bed. I would like to open this session with something that is has always been my guiding light in times of difficulty, and which is very much associated with the Nrisimha Leela. When we human beings are in a situation where our intelligence, our strength, our health, our wealth, and all the other assets which we may have do not work any longer, it's time to pray. When we see our might is leaving us, it's time to turn to the Almighty. And perhaps the difficulties which we all undergo in our life of and our spiritual journey, perhaps all these difficulties can be seen in this light, that they help us to finally wake up to the fact that we are Bhartu. Bhartu is a Sanskrit word. It means someone which can only exist with support. A leaf, for instance, can only exist with the support of a tree. In the same way, we human beings can only exist in this world with the support of our breath. Now, spiritually, we require much more than a material support, like the leaf and our body. Spiritually, we require the support of the Supreme. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj addresses the Lord with this idea in mind. He says, "Please, my dear Lord, help us to overcome all suffering." And he does not only ask for himself, he compassionately asks for the benefit of everyone else. I would like to chant with you this prayer to Lord Nrisimhadev. I will request Gaura Hari and his technical team, to put on the verse 7, 9, 41 for all of us on the screen. And I hope it will work. It's a beautiful prayer by Prahlad Maharaj. After Lord Nrisimhadev, so Gaura Hari, you please put it on the screen as I'm talking. Yes. That was a wonderful kirtan also, as a bonus. We only need the text. Yes, here it is. This was prayed by Prahlad Maharaj after Nrisimhadev was sitting on the throne of his father. He had just conquered Hiranyakashipu, just delivered him from his existence. And now he was boiling with anger. The Lord's appearance is only for 48 minutes, unless like all other forms of God and avatars who stay for long time. Lord Nrisimhadev came only for 48 minutes, two praharas, it's a time measurement. And he came only with one purpose, to save his devotee Prahlad from the atrocities of the demon Hiranyakashipu. So after he had done this, and his mission was completed, so to say, he sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, fuming with anger. There's a meditation on the Lord in this form, which I will do with you at the end of this broadcast, so that we can take help from Lord Nrisimhadev's amazing form, which can purify our heart from all our inner enemies. But for now, imagine the Lord sitting on the golden throne of Hiranyakashipu and being very angry, and no one, not even Shiva, could pacify him. Not even his own beloved wife Lakshmi Devi could bring the anger of the Lord down. However, when the little boy Prahlad was sent forward by Brahma, and Lord Nrisimhadev saw him lying in Dandavat in an outstretched obeisances on the ground, he became he first started to smile, and then he calmed down and became like a lioness with her cubs. Only a moment before, the lioness was extremely angry to protect protect Prahlad. Lord Nrisimhadev was in the mood of a female lion. They are much more ferocious than the lazy male lion. But when he saw Prahlad, to whom he had very, very... Oh, I'm all the time... I'm... Aha! Now you can hear me. Could you hear the rest? Could they hear the rest? Okay, then I don't have to start. Now, Prahlad, please mute your microphone, Prabhu. Simple thing. Mute yourself. After some time, you can unmute yourself, but not now. Yes, Lord Nrisimhadev had been so angry. His anger could only be compared with the female lion, the lioness, who becomes very enraged when there's a threat to her little ones. So, but now Lord Nrisimhadev saw Prahlad. He saw that Prahlad was in good shape. Nothing had happened to him. And he calmed down. And Prahlad then said these beautiful prayers. One of them is this one. I will say the first line alone, and then I will say it again with all of you, and we will chant all together the entire Sanskrit prayer. So one, so the beginning, just me alone, and then you get the idea of the melody, and then we chant the whole verse together. One moment. Evam svakarma patitam vavavaitaranyam. All together. Evam svakarma patitam vavavaitaranyam. Continue. Anyonya janma maranashana bita bitam. Pashyang janam svapara vikraha vaira maitram. Hante ti para charapi brimudam aadya. Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, you are transcendentally situated. You are on the other side of the river of death. But because of our karma, we are here standing far away from you on this side of the river of death. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death, and we are eating horrible things. Now kindly look at us from your side, and please don't look only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering, and by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. This is a request to the Lord to look at us. We cannot look at him with our eyes, because our eyes are still covered. They are not yet our awakened spiritual eyes with awakened spiritual vision. So we cannot see the all spiritual Lord who stands on the other side, in another dimension. But we can ask him to glance at us. It is described in the Bhagavatam, when the Lord looks at someone, he awakens by his glance all types of desires, spiritual desires in the heart of his devotee, which energize the devotee and give him the strength for spiritual activities. There's an example in the biological world that by just looking at someone, when the fish mother looks at the fish children, they somehow get energy to swim and do all the activities. So when we have darshan of the Lord, we feel, please look at us. We don't think that we can see him, but we feel our life is perfected if he looks at us and gives us his transcendental blessings. This happened as Prahlad Maharaj was praying. When Lord Nrsingadev saw Prahlad Maharaj standing before him, he became most ecstatic in affection towards his devotee. And the Bhagavatam says that Utap yatat shirshna adat kalambujam kalahi vitrasta diyam kritavayam. It says that the Lord with his own arms raised Prahlad Maharaj from the ground, and he put his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. So not only do the eyes bless the devotees, but Lord Nrsingadev's hand blesses the devotee. If you come to our deity in Singhashalam, Prahlad Nrsingadev, you see Prahlad sitting so comfortably and so absolutely happy on the lap of Lord Nrsingadev, who has just raised him up. And you see one of the hands of Lord Nrsingadev touching the head of Prahlad Maharaj, and the other extending out to all his devotees and blessing all of them. Prabhupada writes, in this material world, everyone is in a fearful consciousness. To translate this maybe into a word which more of you can relate to, we could call it insecurity. Is this right? Do I feel absolutely at ease and fulfilled? And the only means, writes Srila Prabhupada, to make everyone fearless in Krishna, and the only means to make everyone fearless, is Krishna consciousness. When Lord Nrsingadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. Yes, the Bhagavatam says, all the world becomes fearless. Just by thinking about you, the fear goes. The devotees' hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrsingadev. And Prabhupada says how we should do this. Yato, yato, yamitato, Nrsingha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrsingadev. Thus, there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. I know myself. I was in Afghanistan once. I was teaching in a school. We had a few hundred children, but the local population did not like the Hindu influence, which came very strongly in the school with kirtan and painting competitions. We had all kinds of things going on. And they were watching our steps, and they were planning to kill us. We got an notice. And yes, at that time, I took a picture of Lord Nrsingadev, and every day I chanted my rounds before Lord Nrsingadev, and I prayed again and again before the image of Lord Nrsingadev. Yato, yato, yami, tato, Nrsingha. I got a bodyguard on my side who always took care, but one morning four assassinators came to kill me. They had knives. They had waited until I'd left the house and gone to the outdoor toilet. And as I was on the outdoor toilet, I could see there was a crack on the side of the door, not really a crack, a little free space where the door didn't close very nicely. It was very simple outdoor facility. And I saw that they were coming, and they were there with knives, waiting for me to come out. So I just entered. So I decided I will do something special. I will not wait until my hygienic activity is completed. I just shouted out and jumped out. And then my bodyguard, who was a little to the side, understood my sound. And he came, and I ran away from my murderers back into where I could close the door, and the bodyguard was fighting with them. After some, it was not a nice memory. He was, we found him bleeding on the ground. The people had really cut him up, but we got emergency, and he was brought to the hospital, and by Lord Nrsingadev's mercy, he also survived this. I hesitate to tell these stories and other stories, because it would be wrong to denigrate Lord Nrsingadev and to our bodyguard. Lord Nrsingadev is primarily called for by his devotees, because a devotee knows, I have, the enemy is not outside, the enemy is inside. Yesterday in one call I told the devotees that because we are still divided souls, we are not in one piece. There is our spiritual part who wants a spiritual life, and there is a lot of other things going on which are there due to our karma and our impressions and our ego and so on. So sometimes we are divided in our heart. One direction, one heart or half of our heart wants to go to spiritual life. The other half is not yet converted. He is still an atheist, a doubting atheist. So yes, that's the situation. And Lord Nrsingadev is often called by his devotees to help that our heart is purified from these foreign influences that don't belong to us, that are imposed upon us. Lord Nrsingadev has always his hand for his devotees in the mudra of blessing. He is always ready to bless his devotees with fearlessness, which is so important in the material world, to become free from this insecurity and all kinds of fearful situations. The Lord is always happy to do this. I want to today tell you a little bit about the story of Lord Nrsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj, but I wish to do this from a scripture which is nuts. It's known to you. It's the Nrisimha Purana. I have a summary here. It's actually a good version. It's very, very nice. And it describes a little bit of the circumstances under which Lord Nrisimhadev made his appearance. His father, Hiranyakashipu, had become extremely powerful. He had done so by observing a lot of heavy austerities, which gave him a lot of this mystical strength. And he wanted to become the he wanted to replace God because he had a psychological issue with a God question. His brother had been done very demoniac activities. He had disturbed the earth and pushed the earth out of its position. And it was impossible to continue to live on the earth. So the Lord had appeared to take the earth and bring it back into its original position. When he did this, Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakashipu, gave him battle. And in the battle, he was eventually killed. Hiranyakashipu developed such a grief after this. And together with the grief which he felt after losing the most dear person, his brother, he was something like a twin brother, very close relationship. He only had one obsessive thought, that is to retaliate. And therefore, he was very, very much against God in a way that was almost sick. He wanted to be, his plan was to become so powerful that people in his environment would stop doing any worship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and instead direct all their worship and attention to him. That was his plan. I'm reading to you from the Nrisimha Purana. He became so powerful that out of fear of Hiranyakashipu, the demigods, including Indra and even Rudra, and also the sages, left their abodes in the higher planets and began wandering over the surface of the earth, but disguised as human beings. Hiranyakashipu saw that there was no opposition. Even the powerful devatas had stopped trying to oppose him. So he made an order that all sacrifices within the three worlds should be stopped. And he demanded that instead of Lord Vishnu, everyone should worship him alone, considering him to be the chief personality, the most powerful person within existence. And because Hiranyakashipu had such an incomparable prowess, he was so strong, but not just physically, he had a lot of mystic shaktis. He was a wizard, a magician, and so on. Therefore, everyone complied with his order. This has never happened before, that the 33 powerful devatas had no power any longer. They couldn't do anything any longer. They didn't. So they went to their Guruji, Brihaspati, and asked him, by what, how and when can this demon be taken care of? How and when? And Brihaspati said something which I think is very important for us to hear. He said, listen to me attentively, my dear devatas. This Rakshasa has obtained so much strength because of his severe austerities, but this is going to come to an end because I have seen the omens. And I have discussed this with other sages, and they all agree Hiranyakashipu's time will very soon come. The omen was that, or the sign which they could see is, he had gone beyond the tolerable atheism, and he had started to go after the saints, and he had even started to go against his saintly son, Prahlad Maharaj. He had gone out of control, his demonic nature. And this was the sign. When great souls are harmed, at that time, the lifespan of someone and the happiness of someone comes to the end. This was the problem also of Kamsa. He had harmed great souls. Therefore, his longevity, his lifespan, had really reduced. So, Brihaspati suggested, I suggest you go to the milk ocean and you pray for the Lord. So Lord Shiva became the natural guide of all the devatas, and he went to the milk ocean and started to chant various holy names of the Lord. He said, Vishnu Jishnu Vibhudeva Yagyesha Yagyapalaka Prabha Vishnu Grashishnu Lokatma Lokapalaka Keshava Keshiha Kalpa Sarvakarana Karana Kama Krita Vamandisha Vasudeva Purustuta Adikata Varaha Madhava Madhusudana. I have stopped, had a stopwatch. It takes a long time to finish all the beautiful holy names which are there. I will not be able to do this in the time which we still have. So Vishnu finally appeared after his name was chanted and asked, what can I do for you? And the devatas looked at him and said, you know our heart. You know that we are in great problem. This demon is troubling us. And then Vishnu said so nicely, my dear devatas, you should also return now to your heavenly abodes and be a little more patient. Hiranyakashipu will soon receive... He will soon receive a son named Prahlad, who is my very great devotee. It will so happen that Hiranyakashipu will come to consider his son Prahlad to be his greatest enemy. And when the enemy of Hiranyakashipu, Taurus Prahlad, reaches the peak, I will appear to protect my devotee and kill this terrible demon who cannot be slain by you because he has received benedictions from Lord Brahma. So, yes, Vishnu told what we have heard a little earlier, that when there is an offense against great souls, that is the sign that the life goes down, 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 down. One will first develop a very materialistic understanding about devotees. Then their activities will touch the nerve so much that one cannot control the anger. And this anger is so terrible, this anger against devotees, that it will grow and grow and eventually, listen to this, turn towards a reserved attitude towards Krishna and ultimately even a hatred towards God. Mm-hmm. So Prahlad was born, and the Nisinga Purana describes him a little. I want to read this at the very, it's almost my last quotation. Prahlad was an exalted devotee of Lord Vishnu from his very birth. Just as devotion for Lord Hari increases for some time during the terrible age of Kali, so Prahlad's devotion for the Lord blossomed even though he was living in the society of demons. The Nisinga Purana here makes mention of a specific time within Kali Yuga, which was at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a rise of devotion, which you could see in all, even in other world religions taking place. No? So for some time this rise is there. Prahlad would talk only about the Lord while playing. When he conversed with his friends, he talked about the Lord. When he played with his dolls, speaking to his dolls as if they were deities. So one day, Hiranyakashipu was sitting on his throne and he saw Prahlad coming from the school towards him. And as he looked on this slate. Do you know what is a slate? A slate is something like, it's made from a material like stone, black stone. In German language we say Schiefer. And it was used by the schoolboys for writing down information. I as a little boy had also a Schiefertafel, we said, a little slate, huh? Where we would write down or paint and so on. Mainly I used it for painting. So Hiranyakashipu was curious, what is on that school, in that school slate? And he saw in the corner there was a chakra. Prahlad had made the weapon, had painted the weapon of Lord Vishnu, and there was also a face which was the face of Lord Vishnu, which Prahlad had, he was so absorbed in the Lord that he had painted a chakra. So Hiranyakashipu felt, oh no, this is my son, he's supposed to be the next ruler, but he's on the side of my arch enemy. But being very intelligent, he controlled his anger. You know, when you show anger towards children, they become shocked and they withdraw. And he said, My dear son, just tell me, what valuable lessons did you learn today in school? Prahlad said, I will tell you, but before I speak, I want to offer my obeisances to Govinda, the master of the three worlds. Now Hiranyakashipu thought, he's the master of the three worlds. The devatas had been chased away from their thrones, and here is his son. I mean, the father wants a little acknowledgement and appreciation of his son, but Prahlad said, you are not what you think you are. Govinda is the master of the three worlds. And when Hiranyakashipu heard this, he became so irritated, but still he wanted to control himself, so he laughed out loud, and he concealed his real feelings, and he said, please hear my words for your benefit. Anyone who chants the name Ram, Krishna, Govinda, Vishnu, Madhava, they are my enemies, and therefore they are fit to be punished by me. You are powerful. Why do you worship someone else? It's almost as if a cat would worship a mouse. It's just an imagination. Or there was someone like Vishnu. He killed your uncle, my brother. But after that, we have never heard about him. I think when I threatened him, he has hidden somewhere. Somewhere where he is there out of fear for me. We are like the lion, and the Lord is subjected to us. Prahlad Maharaj couldn't really hear this. He said, it's not proper for you to talk like this. The chanting of the Lord's holy name helps one to advance towards one's eternal life. So don't talk like this. So hearing this was really more than Hiranyakashipu could digest. After this, he just had only one idea. This boy has to go. And he made all kinds of attempts to take the life of Prahlad. He arranged for people to attack him with deadly weapons. He arranged for poisonous snakes. He arranged for elephants, which were made very, very crazy or wild, to trample Prahlad. But Prahlad took up the thunderbolt of concentrated meditation on Lord Vishnu. It so happened that all of the weapons and the demon soldiers proved ineffective to even touch the body of the boy. Instead of harming Prahlad, these weapons simply broke into pieces. This happened because Prahlad was fully protected by Lord Vishnu. And then the Purana says, diseases, evil persons, and bad planets can harm someone only as long as that person is devoid of the merciful touch of the Lord. And the merciful touch of the Lord is there. This is something really nice. Then these things cannot touch, or obstacles cannot touch a devotee. And here I come To a message which I have for the Goloka Dharmis and all of you who are on the call. My dear devotees, we have been given an extraordinary life. The door has opened for a genuine spiritual life where we can progress towards our eternal destination. However, we all carry our human natures, which are based on karma, on ego, you know, the false identity of the soul with the body, with us. And therefore, we often have difficulties with other human beings. We see them with the material vision of Hiranyakashipu, as friends and enemies. And sometimes, in difficult circumstances, our material perspective turns into ill will. Not goodwill, but ill will. And at that time, the touch of the Lord is removed from us. Our project, Goloka Dham, has gone through very difficult phases. It is even said that this project is wonderful. There's only one thing, those who live on it, it relates to everyone, must avoid. That is petty quarrels with other residents who are there. And we have gone through a lot of pressure the last few months, the half year, even 1 year. When the lockdowns happened, then in the project and around the project, two opinions rose. Is this justified to be so careful, or is it not justified? These two opinions you can see in all devotional communities. It's Goloka Dham is no exception. I don't think these two opinions come necessarily because of the item, the thing which we look upon. They are there because we are different human beings. We have different approaches to reality, different feelings. There will always be differences of opinion. The subject matter is not really so important here. If this subject is gone, another subject will come. And when we are not very careful, and if we don't handle our differences carefully, then we might lose for some time the touch of the hand of the Lord, the direct connection. You may say, Maharaji, these are very heavy words. I don't believe you. These are your own words. I have found something I want to share with you, something which made me very alert of what I have just said. It comes from Paramatma Sandarbha. I read it many years ago, but I somehow, yesterday, I was again reading Paramatma Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami, no? And I found this, stumbled over it. This is a statement. If there are some devotees who somehow have ill will towards other devotees, by that attitude, they unfortunately experience also a distant feeling from the Lord and his devotees. And then, only after some time, they can again attain the Lord's feet when their aparadhas, are destroyed by the touch soft of the Lord. You know, the Lord sees we are making mistakes, and for some time he keeps his touch away from us. He feels personally hurt. These are devotees that try to come to me. They're imperfect. That is normal. The imperfections don't leave you until after you have reached bhava. I mean, the imperfection don't leave you completely unless you have gone to bhava and then to prema. Means you are full of love for the Lord. Only then that love for the Lord drives away all the shadows of your, even the smallest shadows. But the Lord does not appreciate when devotees turn against each other. After some time, however, cannot keep himself away even from the difficult devotees. So he touches them like a mother touches her children. In this way, everything is adjusted. Just like the mother, when the child is really bad and bad to his other siblings, you know, brothers and sisters, the mother will feel personally hurt and will keep away from her child. But after some time, she thinks, "Oh, it's only a child, you know, what children, not children," and she comes again and embraces even her difficult child, her problematic child. This is how the Lord deals with us. So my point is, the Lord had appeared because his devotee was hurt. That was the reason why he had come. And he had been very angry towards Hiranyakashipu. Very angry. Oh, no one could calm him. He was so angry. But then the Lord... And the Lord will also do the same thing when we quarrel. He will become very disturbed with his devotees on planet Earth, even with the new greenhorns who just turned to the spiritual life. It's their first life where they are in spiritual life. The Lord is not touching them, but as long as the touch of the Lord is there, and as long as we turn to the Lord with great, great happiness and looking for his shelter, then the Lord will again give us the shelter. I would like to do now something at the close of this session. I want to read to you from the Bhagavatam a meditation on Lord Nrisimhadev when he just had come from the pillar. And after this, I want to request all of you to chant with me the Nrisimha Maha Mantra. At that time, when I have finished the prayer, I will raise my hand, Gaurahari and Vaijajanti, or whoever is on the technical crew. And when you see the hand going up like this, maybe we should give a more beautiful sign. Like this, maybe. This is more classic, no? You are pujaris, you like mudras, so like this. Then please put the Maha Mantra, Ugram Virang Mahavishnum. Yes? Have you understood?
Yes, Guruji, we are ready for it.
So this is your sign, right? Good. Good. So I request you, everyone, to find a comfortable position in your chair. I request you to sit stable, yet comfortable. And do a little Deha Dharana. Focus on your feet. Go up to your knees, and then to your hip, and just relax. Now bring your awareness to your spine, your back, your chest, and your abdomen. Just relax. Remain sitting stable and steady, and relax your entire upper body. Move your attention to your shoulders, and then down to your elbows, to your wrists, to your hands, and relax. Bring your attention to the front of your throat and back of your neck. Relax. The back of your head, the skull, the forehead, and relax. Now your face. Try to relax the muscles under the surface of your skin. Relax, so to say, the face you show to the world. And then you're ready. Close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Inhale through your nose. And exhale through your nose. With your inhale, try to imagine you want to capture a nice smell outside. Maybe at the distant corner of your room. And then stay with your attention with that place where you sense fragrance. Stay with your sense of smell as you breathe in and out. We will now imagine Lord Nrsimhadev is right before us. The Lord's form resembles molten gold. He has a shining mane. He has a broad chest. His waist is very thin. and the hairs on his body are as white as the rays of the moon. His ears stand up erect, and they are motionless. His nostrils appear like caves of a mountain. His entire body touches the sky. Let us worship this Lord. Let us keep him in our heart. By this beautiful mantra, which is the Maha Mantra for Lord Narsingadev. Please open your eyes. You will see the mantra before you on your screen. And I will chant it now. I will chant one line alone so that we get the right, have the same melody and the same octave. Ugram Virang Mahavishnum, and all together, the entire mantra. Ugram Virang Mahavishnum, continue please. Jvalantam Sarvato Mukam Nrishingham Bishanam Batram Mrityo Mrityum Namamyam. We will chant three times. So this was the first time. Continue, please. Ugram Virang Mahavishnum Jvalantam Savatomukam Nrishingham Bishanam Batram Mrityo Mrityum Namamyam. Ugram Virang Mahavishnum Jvalantam Savatomukam Nrishingham Bishanam Batram Mrityo Mrityum Namamyam. Now we will chant the beach mantra of Lord Narsingadev. I will chant it one time alone, and then we will chant it three times together. Om Shrom. Everyone, please, three times. Time, very conscious, very deep chanting. you all very, very much. It was a genuine pleasure to be with you. I thank Gaurahari for getting in contact with us here and for doing nice technical accompaniment. I'm now looking at the time. Gaurahari, maybe you can tell us. I'm 6 minutes over time, so there is no time for question, or is there?
Hare Krishna Gumash, and thank you so much for this beautiful presentation. I got one question from one of our Golokadami, one very beloved of Khadamaran Mohan, and I had one question on WhatsApp from another devotee from the call. For us, I think we are all right to be a little bit out of time, but you have to see from your side.
Yeah.
But if there's a possibility for a small question, then we have Narayani here ready to ask.
Yeah, please, please. I can do one question, and it's so nice to have a Goloka Dami and Narayani. Whew, Narayani. Namastute. So we will unfortunately only be able to take this time this one question. I hope that the other question on WhatsApp, you, Prabhuji, you can discuss with devotees from the Goloka Dham. I think they can give you an answer, but it's good to get dialogue. Fine, so let us hear Narayani's question. Hare Krishna, Narayani.
Hare Krishna,
Guru
Maharaj, vielen Dank für alles.
Oh, yeah. I can see you on the internet.
kann ich in Deutsch reden und übersetzen?
Ja. Yeah. Narayani will ask in German so, and I will translate it.
Ja, also du sprichst in letzter Zeit sehr viel über Compassion, über Mitgefühl. Mehr als viele Jahre vorher habe ich das Gefühl. Und ich wollte fragen, warum du jetzt gerade so dieses Thema, also ich verstehe schon, das ist klar, das ist Mitgefühl und so, das ist sehr wichtig, aber warum jetzt so ein Schwerpunkt von dir aus? Ich frage mich immer, da ist so ein bisschen mein kleiner Teufel in mir, der sagt, eigentlich müsste das doch total selbstverständlich sein, wir als Devotis, die wir nichts anderes tun als uns zu bemühen, unser Herz zu reinigen, durch Chanten, durch alles. Wir machen so viel, also nichts anderes im Grunde, so ein tugendhaftes Leben. Aber warum ist es für gerade so wichtig, dieses Mitgefühl im Moment so zu entwickeln? Oder das müsste doch eigentlich gerade für uns die Möglichkeit sein, Mitgefühl zu haben. Und ja, das ist so, das.
Das ist die, gut, danke schön, Narayani. Und es ist immer sehr schön, dich zu erleben und wirklich ein Devoti zu erleben mit Herz und Seele. So, ich übersetze jetzt und beantworte dann die Frage. So, Narayani ist, bitte, das ist eine Freude. Narayani ist, has noted that in the past, I was maybe not talking so much about compassion, but now, since quite some time, I'm talking a lot of compassion. There's a lot of emphasis on it, and I think Narayani has seen every Tuesday we have a Compassion Tuesday. It's only reserved for compassion. It's in the, let us say, there is a program on the internet where I do a compassion meditation and then bring in the results of studies. Today, for instance, I will have a lot on compassion from the aspect of psychology, what it does to us, and so on. And then we do a compassion meditation. So she asked herself, why am I stressing this subject so much in recent times? And further, she asks herself, isn't this the most obvious thing amongst devotees to be compassionate towards others. We are God-conscious people. This should be something which is natural. So why do I need to speak about the obvious again and again? Good. This is Narayani's question. I will now answer the question because it's a question put to me personally. I will answer personally. I had a great, great awakening. I guess somewhat it started 15 years ago. I was questioning my motivation. Why do I act in devotional service? I was just doing, you know, what I think all of us do. Go a little, introspect a little and see what is the fundament. And I could see that somehow I had missed the point of compassion. I had a theoretical understanding, much like I theoretically understand I'm the body. I'm not the body and not the mind. This is a theoretical understanding. But I had not integrated compassion really into my life. I, for instance, noted that I would go every year on pilgrimage to Vrindavan, and there are poor people in Vrindavan. They suffer really diseases and they have no money for anything. And I thought, I'm going there. I'm taking so much from Vrindavan. What do I do for these people who live here? Why do I close my eyes and pretend there is no need? And as a result, with other devotees, I co-founded, I was not the only one, but I co-founded a charity, Braj Care, where I thought to take care of with gifts of food and clothing of the residents of Vrindavan, that endears one, makes one very dear to Radha and Krishna. I thought, let me do this now. Let me now no longer have a theoretical concept. I also, what I later find, so this is how it started, and I went on a big journey where I discovered more and more areas where I'm not compassionate. For instance, when I judge another person, oh, he's not so advanced, oh, he's a troublemaker, he is this and that, I could understand, is that a compassionate? This person is trying his best and he makes many mistakes, but is this compassionate? And then I said, but I can't feel for these people, for some people. I can feel for some people, but not for everyone. I'm not Mother Teresa. I felt like this. So I could see there are some obstacles where in my heart, where I could not be like a doctor who cares for everyone who comes to him, even as a criminal. And I began to search out what steps do I have to do to become really compassionate. And I began to understand, well, it's a huge, huge subject. It is not an easy one. It is, I will have to become selfless and give up selfishness. I have to learn what is called, this is a difficult word, empathy. For in Deutsch ungefähr Einfühlungsvermögen. But it's much more. This is really a lot. And I knew I was far away from being compassionate. Which is something which has to come really from deep down inside. And then I read something, Narayani and everyone, which totally shocked me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said the main dharma of a Vaishnava who is in this world is to be compassionate towards others. Oh, I thought, wow, I'm missing a point here. I really have to train this. So I first... I decided, well, my compassion is maybe not so helpful. I should be more like Prahlad Maharaj, who says, I'm here suffering in this world. You are on the other side. I beg you, look at me, but also look at all others with mercy and give them your compassion. And Narayani, soon I found so many places in our books where compassion is discussed. And as I became more aware of this, I saw all the areas where I was still lacking, where I needed improvement. So what I did is, I started every Tuesday to pray for everyone. Now I have a long, long list with people who are in the emergency situation, you know, who have... accidents, who have terrible psychological problems, who are really distressed and in despair. I have a long list of those. But then I extend my list to all of all. By the way, you are also on my list. There are, you know, the people I'm closely connected to, the people are distant, and I'm always even trying to pray for difficult people, but that's not always easy, but I try, because I know this is to be done. And I can only tell you, anyone who thinks he is truly compassionate, he is most probably not so yet there. Like Prabhupada, who did this tremendous sacrifice for the people of the world, knowing well that not so many would be interested in the pure messages, knowing well that even his disciples would disappoint him at times. He was always there for us, and I'm with sacrifice, and I'm trying to go in this direction. It's not, Narayani, that I think nowadays devotees are less compassionate than they were before. That's not the reason. It's not because of any... Of course, I see there are difficulties between devotees, you know. There are different opinions. I see that. But I'm not a political person. That has always been there. But now is internet, and internet makes... there's a little problem you have. You write it in the internet, and boom, it spreads. Internet spreads sometimes not only the good things. So, but I'm not responding to this. I'm thinking, if everyone would be compassionate, wow, this world would be a wonderful place to live in. And I want to help. I'm a small man, but I want to help that the fire of compassion, or the candle of compassion, is lit in as many hearts as I can reach. This is my desire. I'm not doing it because I'm not, you know, it's a universal principle. Spiritual people must be compassionate in thoughts, in words, in actions, and this pleases the Lord. As a last remark, I would say, when Prahlad Maharaj preached to his school friends, they were all high aristocratic members of the Rakshasa clans, very aristocratic people. He said, you should worship the Lord because he is in everyone's heart and he is so dear. And the friend said, this is very difficult, very difficult, very spiritual, very abstract. Can you give us something, how we can do it simply, some simple process? And he said, yes, you should be compassionate towards other living beings. And that will please the Lord. And you should give up your he said, your asuric natures, your demonic nature, but mostly be compassionate. That's the opposite. That's a positive thing. That is what I can say. I hope. Please, everyone, if you want to check this out, find this out, join us for Compassion Tuesday. I don't think you want to go. Want to come today because there are many other festivities, but I do it every Tuesday. And also, Narayani, it's a program, it's an outreach program. I can see that many people understand that we need compassion. It's not only the devotees who need to learn this, it's everyone. Compassion starts, Narayani, this is where it starts, to see the equality of all beings, to not see differences. And from there start, it's a highly spiritual process. It is a masterclass. I thank you all very much for listening. I'm very much over time. I regret this. I hope it was not boring for you. I will have to say goodbye to you because of the festivities which we do here. But thank you very much for listening, and I wish you all the best, all the best. Maybe what we can do, Gaura Hari, just everyone can put their video on, and then we can see the gallery. Radhika Ranjan, wow, for 2 minutes you were here at the end. No, longer. I'm joking. Yes, I can't see now anyone. Gaur Krishna is just coming. Here, then we can see each other. Ah, Bhavini is there, Hari Bol, Govinda Ram, Diksha, Kapilji, Patricia, Radhika Ranjan, wow, Abhishek, I can't believe my eyes, I'm thinking so often about you, can I send you a voice message? Good, yes. Purnamasi is there, Mitravinda is there, Pranaya is there, Andre Refish is there, Damodar Priya, wow, are you alive, Damodar Priya? It seems. Then who? Natasha Menon, Madhusudan, so nice to see you, Lalita Govinda, Siddheshwari, Haribo Siddheshwari. Is this real nature or computer nature? It's all right. Govinda Vallabha is there. Wonderful. Daivi Kumari. And Raj. And for now, I only see Raj Gopal, Hari Bol. Then I can't see. Let me see. What is the name? I know. It's Nandimukhi, Hari Bol. Oh, Hare Krishna, Gadadha, you are, where are you, in Tenerife? nice. Wow. And Bal Govinda is there with the whole family. Wow, they look strong, your children. And iPhone von Franka is there. Good. Bhagavati, wow, from Vrindavan, no? Yes, Bhagavati Radhakund, Harshita Lutra, Mari ist der, Dina Bandhu ist der, Haribo, Haripriya ist der, Haris ist der, no, Harishyam, Harishyam, Sid ist der, Haribo Sid, Haripriya ist der, Simanti, our Bhagavan Dharma is there, and his new wife. This is historic. Then Sevanandini is there, and Syam Nam, and Christian Haribol. Wonderful to see you. Go there, now you're in the corner there. You are traveling over the screen. Who else? Go Govinda. Hari Vallabhi. Haribo Hari Vallabhi. I'm seeing you. You want to bring someone else there. And who's there? Oh, our Vivakit. Hare Krishna Vivakit. I still will listen to your voice message. I have not yet listened to the voice message, but after this I will listen to it. And some others are also there. I'm not so technically. Yeah, here we are. Aida is there, and so on and so forth. So I thank you all very much. I wish you a wonderful Nrisimha Chaturthi. My Anikunja, I see you also. My recommendation is, I heard the exact appearance day of the Lord is at least in on the German farm 8:53 in the evening. I believe in passive spirituality. During this time, I request you to just stop everything else, come before the Lord, even if you in your mind only, and tell the Lord, I'm a being of this world, I have two sides in me, and please help me to strengthen my spiritual side. By your kind mercy, I may become free from the influence of the material energy, which sometimes is so strong that I cannot be at the place where I like to be. And for our Bhagavati, I will say, devotees have always worshipped Lord Nrisimhadev if they wanted to attain Braj Bhakti, because Lord Nrisimhadev is called upon to destroy these terrible obstacles in our heart, which are these enemies of the conditioned soul, lust, greed, anger, illusion, deceit, and so on. And therefore, also for the Braj Bhaktas who are attaining for a very particular close relationship with the Lord, the worship of Lord Nrisimhadev is very, very important. Once Mother Yashoda told Krishna a good night story because she couldn't, she could not, Krishna could not sleep. So she said, you know, there was this devotee, Prahlad. Krishna went, he was a little bit half asleep. And there was a demon who tried to always attack Prahlad Maharaj. But then, his name was Hiranyakashipu, but then, the Lord appeared from the pillar and he ripped the demon into shreds. And Krishna smiled and he dozed off. A very happy smile came on his face. So Mother Yashoda thought, I'm on the good track here. I'm going to tell demon stories, and then my child, my unusual child, will sleep for sure. He's always so restless, so I tell another restless story, and then he will calm down. Then she said, and there was another one. There was once Ram, and he was attacked by the many, many demons, and Ravan was there, the super demon. And this, a little boy, whom she just wanted to bring to sleep, that was all why she told the stories. The opposite effect came. She jumped up in his bed. He started to move in his bed and said, "Mother, where's my bow? Where's my bow? I want to shoot Ravan." These are the stories of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. He is very, very sweet and very unusual, very lovable. Good. So when I said I have no time, it is really the fact. With your permission, I will now leave this. I don't know how to stop this, so I will, Gaurahari, you will have to stop this. I can only bring this thing down, this laptop down. But it was so happy to see devotees. I'm so happy just to see devotees. Wow, I will just put your pictures on my writing desk and will be inspired. All the best, and Hare Krishna, Jai Lord Nrisingadeva ki, Jai Haribo.